Well, as you might guess, I'm not Sandy. The theme today is next man up. Cameron couldn't make it, so Ron, next man up. Sandy called and said, well, emailed me and said, hey, I'm sick. Can you step up? Like, next man up. So I contacted Roger. I said, Kim's at her daughter's wedding this weekend, so next man up. Roger says, Jerry, next man up. And that's the way we do it. We work as a family. And it's good that there's a next man to come up. As believers in Jesus, we are cared for by a God who is amazing. He knows us intimately, and he still likes us. He knows all the stuff you hide from everybody else, and he still likes you. He knows all your baggage. He knows all your dirt. He's crazy about you. He's a God who seeks relationship with us, and he wants the absolute best for us. He really does. But we're never going to trust him until we get to know him. And we're never going to get to know him until we spend time with him in relationship. And that's, you're going to hear that a lot today. It's about relationship. David was called a man after God's own heart because he had a relationship. And he penned the Psalm 139. Now, this psalm stands as one of the three major remembered chapters in the Bible. Psalm 23, Isaiah 53, and Psalm 139, believed to be some of the most recognizable. So we're going to take a look at that a bit today. The first point we're going to talk about is that God knows you intimately. We start in Psalm 139, verse 1. Lord, you have tested me. You know all about me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You know my thoughts from far away. You know where I go and where I lie down. You know everything I do. Lord, you know what I want to say even before the words come out of my mouth. Do you find that a bit intimidating? I do. It's like, don't let God see this. Well, how stupid is that? But we don't have to worry. He's never going to leave us or forsake us because we were, dare I say, stupid. With people, relationships are different. You know, they're more of a emotional bartering system. I give you X, expecting Y from you. When I don't get it, I give you 2X, and I still don't get Y, and then I get disappointed, and I get frustrated, and a relationship is broken. God's not like that. He loves you unconditionally. We don't have to do or act a certain way, but there's much to be gained by staying in relationship with him. If you choose no relationship, you lose. It's as simple as that. When I was growing up, if I chose not to have a relationship with my parents, I was the one that would be missing out. The love, the support, the guidance that my parents was something not to be taken lightly. Not to mention, I'd miss out on Sunday dinner. And the access to a master mechanic who helped me keep my junk running. You know, there was lots of things to be gained by staying in relationship. Back to David in Psalm 139. Point two is he loves you completely. Picking up with verse 5, you are all around me, in front of me and behind me. I feel your hand on my shoulder. I'm amazed at what you know. It's too much for me to understand. Your spirit is everywhere I go. I cannot escape your presence. when I was growing up and facing a difficult situation, I could get through it. When I felt Dad's hand. As long as Dad was there, we'll make it through. God's like that, holding on in the tough times, in the scary times. He's there. You can feel his hand on your shoulder, guiding you, leading you in the right path. He goes before me, yet he walks behind me. I hear his voice saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Yet he stands beside me. How's he do that? In front, behind, and on both sides. He's all around us. Point three, he sees you. And I put in parentheses, even when it's so dark you can't see him. Have you been in that place? I have. Yet he still sees you. Picking up in verse 8, if I go to heaven, you'll be there. If I go down to the place of death, you'll be there. Where's Alma? Alma, this next part's for you. If I go east, where the sun rises, or I go and live in the west. Alma's getting ready to move back to California. Even there, you will take my hand and lead me. Your strong right hand will protect me. There's that strong, loving hand again, comforting and reassuring and letting us know that we're not alone, even in the darkness, and we never will be. So, what's our response to all of this? Well, point A, be genuine. He loves that. Don't be afraid and don't hide. It's dumb. You can't hide from him. And there's no need to be afraid of him. He loves you so much. Why would you be afraid? How crazy is it to think we can hide from God? Yet we try to. But more importantly, there's no reason to. Absolutely none. Leads me to point B. Be honest. He can take it. And then I added, but be respectful. Verse 13, you formed the way I think and feel. You put me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because you made me in such a wonderful way. I know how amazing that was. It wasn't just a clump of cells that formed on their own. God was at work. God formed us. Before my mother knew I was there, God was forming me inside her. And he knew me. And he knew what I would be. God already knows what you're thinking anyway. So it's okay to be honest with him, because you can't fool him. Level with him. You'll feel better. And the devil won't have that piece of stuff that you've been hiding to use against you. You take away his toys. So level with God. Tell him how you feel. But as I said, be respectful. When I was working, I was a director of IT, and I had a lot of employees. And there's all kinds. There's the employee that will tell you, yes, great job, no matter what. There's not a nice way to say that, but you all know what I'm thinking, you know? Has to do with the color of the nose. They're no good. As a manager, they're no good to you because they're just telling you what they think you want to hear. Then there's the ones that no matter what you do, they're calling you out. You're stupid. That was dumb. Why'd you do that? I wouldn't have done it that way. Blah, 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 blah. You know, they're no good to you either. But then there's the other ones that say, you may have made a mistake there, Ron. You probably should have done that this way because, and they're respectful in helping you move forward. Because I don't care how far you rise up in a company you don't know at all. And very often, it's the people beneath you on the strata that really know the stuff. They're the ones that make the company run. One of my bosses told me early on when I started into management, he said, hire the best people. Hire people smarter than you. He was right. So, all that to say, take your stuff to God, but be respectful. Be like the good employee. Okay? Point C, his presence is the most important thing. So stay close. Stay near to him. Close enough that you can hear the voice behind you. You can feel his hand on your shoulder. Verse 17, your thoughts are beyond my understanding. They cannot be measured. If I could count them, they would be more than all the grains of sand. But when I finished, I would have just begun. God thinks big thoughts. He's got a big brain. He thinks the best thoughts. The fact that he loves me is beyond my understanding. Add to this that he wants a relationship with me when he knows what I'm really like is beyond my understanding. But he does. Relationship, point D, is the priority. And it has to be. Verse 23, God, examine me and know my mind. Test me and know all my worries. I love this next part. That's why it's highlighted in yellow. Make sure that I'm not going the wrong way. Lead me on the path that has always been right. Because if I do it my way, I might be in trouble. Now, if I do it his way, it will always work out. God alone is able to protect me from myself. When I listen to him, I make better decisions and I have fewer problems. It's just the way it is. God is the one who knows what's best for us. Point four. We're going to spend a little more time on this one. But I got news for you. We got lots of time because it's only 9 o'clock according to that clock. So I got lots of time. Allow his spirit to change you. Point A, he gave everything so that you could have relationship. Now for this, I'm leaving Psalm 139. I'm jumping back to the beginning of the Bible where it all began, back in Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man, or some translations say humans, in our image, after our likeness. Let's pause there for a minute. Let us make man after our likeness. Who is he talking to? Himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one, are having a conversation with themselves. And they said, this is cool, but we've created this beautiful garden. Let's make man in our image, just like we are, and put him in there. That'd be cool. And one of the other parts of the Trinity says, yeah, that's cool. Let's do that. So they do. So, verse 27, God created man, or humans, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them in the beginning. We were made for relationship. God did this because he wanted Well, gosh, he wanted to have good conversations, and it was hard talking to the monkeys. They just didn't make sense, right? So he made man to have relationship and communication. At the beginning of time, God said it was not good for us to be alone, so he gave us relationship. If you jump over to chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 18, then the Lord said, I see that it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a companion he needs, one just right for him. Yeah, I know we set it up in the first, in chapter 1, that he created male and female. Chapter 2 is just a retelling of the story with a little more details. And so there you have it. But that, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Was he alone? God was there. So what's he talking about? It's not good for man to be alone. As I was preparing this and I ran across that and started thinking about that, it just blew me away. God had created man to have relationship with him. I think, this is a gospel according to Ron, I think Adam's having a little trouble with this. He doesn't know how to relate to God. Pretty big guy. It's a little tough. So God, because he loved his creation so much, said, I know what I'll do. I'm going to make this easier on Adam. Because the concept of relationship is too lofty for Adam to understand, I'm going to create someone just right for him. And he created Eve. I suspect she could conversate. You know, and help Adam understand relationship. And once he could understand relationship with one of his own kind, then he could begin to grasp relationship with his creator. So you see, God gave everything. He gave up this position of solo relationship with Adam so that Adam could get what he needed to become what he was created to be. I just think that's cool. Then I think things are cool. This is what makes Christianity unique, though. The God we worship wants a personal relationship with us. He's not wanting us to perform deeds to appease him, sacrifice things to him, or sacrifice loved ones to him, because some of the gods required that. No. He wants a personal relationship. Christianity isn't about a bunch of rules. It's about a relationship with our Creator and each other. This, Jesus said, this is how they will know that you are mine. How? Remember? Because you love each other. This is how they will know, is because you love each other. And if you don't, you're not mine, because I created you to love each other. And only Jesus can make this happen, because quite frankly, there's lots of y'all might not be so lovable were it not for Jesus done some work in you and me. We might not even be friends. But he redeemed us. And he restored us to what God intended. And in the bargain, we get wisdom and direction and family and life everlasting. And I, truthfully, some of y'all here have become more family than family. and I know I'm not the only one that has said that, that the family in this building is more family than the family I was born with. Why is that? Well, it's because God did something. God was in the mix. God knew what I needed. My heart's desire has been about helping people to not just deepen their relationship with God, but deepen their relationship with others. I really long for a bunch of Christ followers pursuing and loving each other just as Jesus taught. I think we're getting there. I really do. I think we're getting there. And then my hope and my prayer is that as people see and observe our supernatural care for each other, that they'll go, I don't know what they got, but I want some of that. And they'll come and cuddle up. Let us love on them. Love us back. And learn what relationship's about. And in relating to humans that we can see, learn to better relate to a God that we can't see. This brings me to point B. That piece of your life that you're holding on to, give it to him. You know, that secret part that you won't let God see. That's dumb, remember? You know that, right? That secret part of your life that you say, well, I can't give that to him, because if I give that to him, I won't get this over here that I really want. So in order to get what I really want, I got to hold something back from God. You see how stupid that sounds, don't you? God loves you more than anything you can imagine. Yet somehow you sit there and think, if I do it my way, it will be better. Has that ever worked out? It hasn't for me. But the more I take my hands off of it and do it God's way, it's way better. Well, shoot, he sees the end from the beginning. He knows what's coming down the road that I don't. And so if I allow myself to be moved and directed and led by him, when I get to that thing down the road, I'm prepared. If I'm just stumbling along on my own, all this stuff of the world just keeps smacking you. Just, you know. It's like when you're riding your bike down a trail and a branch smacks you in the head. Like, where'd that come from? You know? Well, you weren't paying attention. That's where that came from. Should have ducked. Whatever God has for us is sure to be way better than anything we can imagine for ourselves. Point C, I really wrestled with this one. I crossed it out, put it back. Crossed it out, put it back. Crossed it out, put it back. I don't know how many times. Follow me as I follow Christ. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example just as I follow the example of Christ. Now, the reason he said that is he was writing to the church that he had established in Corinth on his second missionary journey. Corinth was a very modern city for their time. A very hedonistic city.
Well, what's that mean, Ron?
That means, kind of like the 70s here, if it feels good, baby, Do it. Anything goes. Whatever gives me pleasure, I'm in. You know? And so in Corinth, you know, it was feasting and debauchery and, you know, whatever. So what's Paul do? Well, he plants a church there. You know, this is Paul. He goes through and he sees all this and he says, what this place needs is a church. I'm going to start one. So the Corinthian church was a baby church. And Paul's in the midst of his journeys. He gets them up and running, and then he goes on to plant the next church. And they're feeling kind of alone and weak and confused. And, you know, how do we handle all this pressure from the city that we live in? You know, they need answers. And the answer Paul gave them is, do as I do. Was Paul perfect? Not the way I read it. He made a lot of mistakes. But he had the confidence to say, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm getting it right more often than I'm getting it wrong. That's probably me. So follow me as I follow Christ. Can I say that? I should be able to. I should be following Christ close enough that I can say, hey, you know, I understand that the Bible can be confusing. You know, just do what I'm doing. I'm not brave enough to say that quite yet, but I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. But that's why the church is so important, don't you see? I don't understand parts of it, but your faith builds my faith. I see you get it right, and I think, wow, if they can get it right, I can get it right. Or something I don't understand, I see you living out correctly, and it's like, wow, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's how I'm supposed to, oh, I'm not supposed to hit them. I'm supposed to hug them. Oh, never thought of that. As we live and worship and work and play together, yes, I said play together, in whatever that looks like, it might be hiking, it might be game nights, it might be, ooh, I said game nights. Ooh. It might be dinners, it might be anything, picnics, parties, fishing, I don't care. But as we work together, play together, worship together, ooh, worship together. Hey, I got an idea, why don't we all come Friday night? 7 o'clock. Get our worship on. All right. This Friday, by the way. We need each other. We're better together. Your faith makes my faith stronger. So, what have I said? Stay in presence. Last slide here. God knows you intimately. Intimately, better than your spouse knows you, better than you know you, way better than your kids know you. He loves you completely, and way better than your parents know you too. He loves you completely, completely. He's not holding anything back. Even when you think he is, even when you think, well, gee, that's just too strict, I'm going to miss out on the fun. God isn't holding anything back from you. Trust me, your life will be better doing it his way, and more fun and more enjoyable, less problem-ridden. Trust me. He sees you even when it's so dark you can't see him. Be genuine. Be honest, respectfully. Stay in his presence. It's so important. relationship has to be a priority. I'm going to go back to that, staying in his presence. Sometimes that's hard. I've told you before that my habit is every morning I get up and I go out and sit in our sunroom, which is cold these days, not much sun, and have my devotion, my quiet time with God. And so I'll be sitting out there, having, you know, just reading and listening to scripture, and then this thing will go ding. What's the thing do when it, what do you have to do when this thing goes ding? You gotta find out what it is. It's absolutely the most important thing at the time. I've gotta find out. Now, some of you are spiritual. You turn the ding off, it just vibrates. So you gotta get it out of your pocket. Why have we gotten to where this thing is ruling our life? Just because it dings, I don't have to look. I'm not real good at that, but I'm working on it, especially in the morning. I'm thinking, anybody that I care about knows what's happening right now, so they're not dinging me. Everybody else, well, they can just wait. I'm sorry, guys. We got to stay in relationship, stay connected, put the other distractions aside, make relationship the priority, and then let him change you. Let's try that. Let him change you. Don't be scared. He isn't going to upset you all at once, unless you really, really need it. And then, oh well. Deal with it. No, I'm not moving at all. But let him change you. Let him work in your heart. Let him tell you what's right and wrong. Let's just let him have his way. Listen, you know, turn the TV off, turn the radio off. For some of you, this is really hard. You know, I have a daughter-in-law that if her eyes are open, the music's on. I expect you got a daughter that's kind of like that too. But that's where, and it's like, when does God talk to you? Wow, through the worship, through the music. You know, maybe he has something to say that doesn't have a tune with it. Do you ever think about that? Let him have his way and let him work with you. Yesterday I was preparing this because I found out I was speaking yesterday at noon. Thank you very much. I usually have several weeks. And so I worked on it for a while, and then I told Judy, I said, I'm just going to let that simmer and go out and clear the driveway. You know, sometimes you just got to get quiet and listen. Whatever you're holding back, it's time. It's time to let go. It is. What you're holding on to isn't any good for you anyway. Just let it go. Let God have it. Let him work with you. I'm trying. Follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ, don't follow, you know. But when I am, follow on. And Solomon, Song of Solomon, the bride, the Shunammite, says, how will I know where you went? And he says, follow the feet of the sheep. So we're all the sheep. Sandy's our shepherd leading us in the right direction. Follow the sheep. Be careful which sheep you're following. Make sure they belong to the right herd, because there are sheep out there that are following a crazy shepherd, and you don't want to go that way. But the shepherd we have here, who is dying at home wanting to be here, I can guarantee it, follow her. She is leading us. in the right direction. So I'm going to close with this. When Sandy asked me if I would speak, she said, I know you always have something in the background. And I usually do. I have a note thing on my phone. And when I hear something that piques my attention, I just jot the note in there. And so I thought, well, surely I've got something in there. And so I opened it up and looked through and, okay, maybe, you know, it doesn't really go along with the theme. I'm trying to look for something that goes along with theme. And I ran across one. Let me pull this up here. Bear with me. Message ideas. Sure, somebody stole it. What the heck? Well, anyhow, it's here. Oh, here it is. In green, no less. The title that I had jotted down was His Presence. Well, that might work. The bullet points were, God knows you intimately. He loves you completely. When it's so dark you can't see him, he still sees you. Be genuine, he loves you. I jotted that note down February 2020. That's been sitting, marinating. What happened in 2020? COVID. You know, at the time I jotted it down, I thought, well, that'd be a message due sometime. Then we spent a year where we were trying to figure out how to do church any which way we could. Okay? And I just kind of forgot about it, but sitting in the background. But God knew that the time would come. So here we are. I said before that trust him. He knows what's ahead of you before you get there. Apparently, he knew in February 2020, that's almost 4 years ago, that I needed to be here today and I'd need something in a hurry. My mom used to bake pies. When she baked pies, she'd bake several of them and put them in the freezer because that way when company comes, they've got a pie you can pull out and bake it. If she didn't have the stuff to put in the pie, she made the pie crust because that's the hard part. Put it in the freezer, right? And then it was there ready and waiting. And that's kind of what God wants to do. Sometimes what you're going through doesn't make sense. Well, just tuck it away. He'll bring it out when the time's right. He'll make it happen. Hopefully you've gained a little bit. I've already started the announcements. This Friday, 7 o'clock. It is this Friday, right?
Yeah.
7 o'clock, right here, Presence Night. We're going to gather and we're just going to give it all to him. Next week, Sandy will be back. Having a clue what she's talking about. She has the one she prepared for today, but knowing her, she may just scrap that and do something else. And coffee and bagels. It's fellowship, love on each other. Thank you for listening.